and I asked a special lady to speak tonight. And I've gotten to know her over the years, and, you know, I think it's been about 10 years since I've heard you speak, Leda. And I'm so glad that you've been able to come out and do that. So let's have Leda come up. And she's going to sit because it's easier for her to do that.
It looks longer, the table now.
If you need anything more, just let us know.
Okay, thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm Lida, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Lida.
And a couple weeks ago, Nadine had asked me, and I had to hurry off and go to Pittsburgh, so I couldn't meet that week. And I told her whenever she got a chance, let me know, and I would. And she asked me yesterday, so here we are. And my sobriety is November 8th, 1999, and I came from, as we all say, a dysfunctional family. You know, my mom was married three times, and the first one, I don't know, that was my dad. I never met him, don't know anything about him, so I can't tell you if I'm from a redneck or a regular person. He had to have been a redneck because he rode from Cleveland to Arizona on a bicycle, and with formaldehyde. He put preachers from the desert in formaldehyde and mailed them back to my mother. So he was a little off there somewhere. And so my first stepfather was an alcoholic, and very cruel. As a child, I grew up mainly with him. That's all the father I knew from a child. And till I was probably in eighth grade or ninth grade, I found out he was my stepfather. I never knew. I went by his name and everything else. Found out that wasn't my last name, you know. And that's when I found out I had a father and didn't know about it. And he brutally—he was very brutal to me and my sister because there was just the two of us. He had four kids. Him and my mom had four kids. He was good with them, but we would have to run around in the driveway in our bare feet and play Red Rover or Ring Around the Rosie or something for all day long. If we weren't working in the garden, that's our playtime. You know, and if we didn't do it, we'd get whipping and stuff like that. Well, when I was, as I recall, this was about, when I was in eighth grade, I was going to my eighth grade graduation, I asked my stepfather why my mom wasn't going, and he said she has to take care of the other kids. I couldn't figure out why they couldn't go too, you know. And he raped me on my eighth grade graduation, and I was afraid to tell my mom. I never told her till I was 17. I left home. Then I told her, you know, and I was very upset with her because she accused me of stealing her husband from her. I hated the guy, you know, and I hated having to always go to the store with him. I didn't want to go with him. I wanted to stay home, you know. And I even had a sister that was jealous because I got to go everywhere with her dad, and I didn't, you know. And, I mean, I got to go, and she didn't. But anyway, as the years went, I ran away from home at 17. And I moved to Erie. And every day I'd go to the GE trying to get a job, but I was only 17. So the minute I turned 18, they hired me. You know, because I was there every day. I never went a day without being there. And I guess they figured I'd be there all the time, you know. So I got hired. I started working there when I was 18 years old. And that's where I met my husband. And it was kind of funny because I seen him all the time, and he was a hunk. He was kind of a split between Tom Selleck and Sean Connery. And that was my little you know, I'm going to get this guy, you know. And back then in the 60s, you know, the stretch pants with the stirrups, you know, and the go-go boots and the, you know, hot to trot, you know. And I'm going to get this guy. It was wintertime. And I'm running out from the work because I got to catch the bus to get home. And I figured I'll run into him, you know, and I'll get to meet him. Well, his dad knew me, but I didn't know it was his dad. I seen him walking with this guy I knew, you know, his dad. And his dad had the same idea and pushed him. But when he pushed him, I missed him. I went in the big pile of snow and then got up embarrassed and took off, you know. And so about a month later, my girlfriend, she was my best friend, she says, "Hey, you want to go on a blind date?" And I'm thinking, oh, God, this guy's got to be pretty bad. He needs, you know, someone to hook him up with him, you know. And so I said, sure, I ain't got nothing better to do, you know. She says he's a nice Catholic boy, you know, and he works at GE, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's telling me all this stuff about him. And she says he has a convertible, you know, has a boat, you know. Thinking, well, I got to meet this guy, you know. So he comes to the door. I'm thinking Catholic, so I got a little white shirt on with a little bow tie and pleated plaid skirt, you know, and I'm going to meet him. He comes to the door, and I slammed the door in his face. I ran upstairs, changed my clothes, come back downstairs. And he says, "Who was that?" And I said, "My sister. You know, my sister looks like me, but she was in Ohio. I don't know how she got there at that moment, you know." But so we went on our first date. Needless to say, we went to Kelly's. On the way, he's telling me about it, you know, or it has thatch roof, mud floors, arrows in the walls. I'm thinking, oh, God, I ain't going to this place. What are you, nuts? And I had never drank before, so, you know, this was all new to me. Two beers and I was under the table. But I didn't want to leave because we were having too much fun. I could talk. Oh, boy, could I talk then, you know. And I was real shy. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I was just, say hi, you know, how are you, blah, 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 you know. Boy, my mouth opened up. They turned me loose. That was the greatest thing that happened to me, that beer, you know. Boy, so every other weekend we'd go out, because he worked third shift, I worked first at the time. And so it was kind of hard to get together. But the comical part of the whole thing, I worked with his mother. She was here, I was here. I didn't know that it was his mother. So we got engaged, and he invited me to meet his parents. That's when I found out who his parents were, and I almost died, you know. I walked in, his mother had a hemorrhage, you know, because I was telling her about this guy. Oh, God, you know. Well, we won't say what I was saying, but but they were. I was definitely letting her know he was a hunk, and I was going to try to get him, you know. And never even thinking, putting two and two together, the last name. I didn't know what his last name was. He didn't know mine. You know, I was the only girl in his little black book, didn't have a last name. So I had to marry him to get a last name, you know. sounded good to me. Anyway, over a period of time, we had three boys, you know. And back then when the kids were small, I didn't drink that much. Weekends, we'd go square dancing. Maybe Friday or Saturday night, you know. And then after I had the third one, he was staying out all the time and never coming home. And I was getting PO'd about it, so I decided, well, if he could do it, I could do it. So I'd leave my kids for an hour, our 7-year-old, 4-year-old and 1-year-old, to watch themselves till I got home from the bar, you know. And to this day, I PO'd it myself, but like Brenda said to me one day, listen, the kids didn't complain, you know. And really, my absolute worst time of drinking was from 97 to 99 when I got sober. And that was because my boyfriend, well, I got divorced. I'm sorry, I got a divorce and all that crap. And because we couldn't get along, we'd almost kill each other. We couldn't live in the same house, but we were best friends up till his death. Anyway, so my boyfriend died, my aunt died, my dad died, and the one that got me was my dog died. All in a period of 2 months. And I went out, well, I had been sober for 5 years, but I never went to meetings or nothing like that, you know. And so my boss, I went to work one day, and I guess I'd probably already had a six-pack because I'd get up in the morning, drink a six-pack, and order to function, you know. Then I'd have a cup of coffee because I couldn't hold the coffee down unless I had a beer, you know. So, so I drank a beer, or about a six-pack, I imagine, and I went to work. And my boss said, "Lida, I want to see you in the office." And I says, "Okay." You know, I'm thinking, I know I'm in trouble, but I wasn't quite sure which one of the things I did got me in trouble. You know, I never thought the drinking was what I was in trouble about, you know. And he says, "Lida, we love your work, but we can't be leaving you work here anymore in the condition you've been working, you know, coming to work." And I says, "Well, I want to quit. I just don't know how, you know." And my boss says, "If we send you to rehab, would you go?" And I says, "Of course." I don't even think that I got that out of my mouth. And I was in Mill Creek detox. I'm thinking, "Wow, what happened? You know, here I am, you know." So I went to Mill Creek. I was there for 2 days. And then they sent me to Glen Bay. Best thing that ever happened to me. I learned a lot there. And that's where I met Brenda. And we've been friends for 14 years now. And we hang out. She comes, so now that I've been sick, she's been over every day to my house, you know, and helps me with a lot of things. I went through the steps with my sponsor. I probably did the fifth step probably 4 times over the years. I need to do one now because I'm battling everything that's going on, you know, in my household. And it's more what's going on with me than anything. It isn't, you know, nothing I have against anybody. It's resentments I have toward myself, and I need to work that out. And matter of fact, my first secretarial job was here at Area Artists back in 2002, 2001. Yeah, I was secretary for about a year. And then I kind of handed it off, and I had moved away, and it was too hard to get here, and I had thousands of excuses, you know. I only need to go on Monday, Sunday, and Saturday, you know. But, you know, I'd had probably a year, 2 years, and I figured I didn't need to go to meetings every single day like I was doing. I was going twice a day, you know, to meetings. And I cut back, and I got a little leery or kind of withdrawn from the meetings. So I figured, oh man, I better, you know, get meetings. Because I was just going to Monday. Monday was a small meeting, you know, and my sponsor and I and my other friend Judy, we started the meeting and got it going. Now it's a huge meeting, but I would go there. I would go to my home group, which was on Sunday, and maybe I would go to Gratitude on Saturday because I was working, you know. I didn't have time to go to meetings, you know. Well, about a year ago, well, 2 years ago now, it'll be 3 in October, I retired. Oh, boy, resentments came then because I didn't want to retire. I got sick, so I had to retire. I was just mad because I got old overnight. You know, I was okay. I was young the day before, and next day I was 90. You know, what the heck happened, you know? And it just seemed like I all of a sudden got old. I had to go through my steps again because I had to get rid of that mindset that I was in, you know, that all of a sudden I'm old. I wasn't old until I retired. You know, and I swore I'd never retire. I'd be 70. I'm not going to retire till I'm 70. You know, I'm going to be rich. That's it. Well, I retired, got broke, you know. And now I go to 7 meetings a week, you know. Well, sometimes I go to 9, but right now I'm only, the last week or two I've only gone to 3, but I was going through radiation chemo, kind of set me back for a little bit, and I missed all that. So last night I said, or not last night, Saturday, last Saturday I said, nope, I'm not going to let anybody enable me anymore, because that's what was going on. It's, you know, my boyfriend was enabling me, my girlfriend was enabling me, you know, and my neighbor was, you know, everybody was doing for me, you know. Well, why do anything? Everybody else is doing it. You know, sit back and don't do nothing. And that's exactly what I did. Well, that made me more of an invalid than getting and going. And I told Harry, I'm getting my car inspected, and I'm going. Every day I'm going to go to a meeting, one meeting. I said, it might be in the morning, it might be at night. I don't know, but I'm going to go every day. And he says, don't you think that's going to be a little too much? I can't really stay here and take you every day. And I says, I drive. I've been driving for 60-some years, you know. And, 50. he says, well, yeah, I didn't say you couldn't drive. Well, I says, and Brenda doesn't have to take me every day either. I says, I have a car, and I want to drive it, you know. And I got belligerent. And now I need to talk to my sponsor. But, you know, I took it out on him. And so now he only comes over once a week, one day. You know, he says, boy, she, yeah. I said, you didn't shave? You know, I was just really, you know, that's why I said I need to do a fifth step, another fifth step. But the most important thing that I've found being in this program is having a sponsor, oh my God. You know, and have more than one. Don't just have one sponsor, you know. Have a co-sponsor, have another co-sponsor. Like Brenda, we kind of co-sponsor each other, you know. And I had a girl I sponsored, but I have none right now that I'm sponsoring. I'm kind of sponsoring, kind of like they call me every day, you know, that type of sponsor. I'm not working the steps or nothing with them. But, you know, I learned my steps the most when I had to work them with my sponsee. Now, my sponsor, I learned them with my sponsor. But I never tore them apart like I did when I decided to, she needs to know them, we're going to work them, you know. I tore them apart, you know, and did the ridiculous instead of doing the simple. I wanted her to learn it, you know. And she did beautiful. She passed away, what, 2 years now, Sally? It'll be 3 in August. And we were best friends, you know. We hung out together. We did everything together. And it was like 4 of us that hung out in the program, you know. A couple of them went out a few times. But this is the way life is. It's not a bowl of cherries, believe me. I could tell you that right now. And I did my traditions, and I love the daily reflections. I love reading that in 24-hour day book. They kind of keep me going every day, and a lot of prayers. I have my co-sponsor, if anybody knows, Sister Stephanie. I can say her name. She is my sponsor, and she keeps me in line. Oh boy. If she don't hear from me, she calls me, you know, but I call her every day because I can't really get a hold of my sponsor every day. So so I always have somebody in the program that I'm talking to or with. That's very important. You got to keep in contact with somebody, and somebody that you can trust, depend on. You know, you don't want to tell your life story to a total stranger, you know. And it took me a while to do my fourth step with my sponsor because I had to feel her out. You know, I had to see I'm going to tell her and she's going to go tell everybody, you know. And that's just an alcoholic way we are. We don't really trust anybody because we know what we did, you know. And Let me think. Oh, before I came into the program, well, when the second time around, my drinking was so bad that my kids wouldn't have anything to do with me. I have two grandchildren that I actually got to see on my 10th AA anniversary. My oldest son surprised me and brought him one from Alaska and the other one from California. And I hadn't seen them since they were like 4 and 6. And I was amazed. I mean, they're grown up and they have kids, you know. And that was the most wonderful thing that happened, was getting into the program, being able to see my grandchildren. I babysit my two youngest ones. And now it's more or less I sit and watch them tear the house up and tell mom and dad what they did, you know. But I babysit them. No. But no, they're my little angels. And Bubba, I think a lot of you have met Bubba. He's my 14-year-old grandson that from day one, from the day he was born, I kind of watched him every weekend. He was with me. And he went to every Sunday meeting with me. He was part of the fixture from a year and a half old. And you'd never know he was in there. Now he's grown up and he's just wonderful. And this program is what gave me that freedom. My kids would have never let me watch their kids. Oh my God, now they call me up, Mom, can you come over? You know, they're a little lenient now because I was watching them every day. But when I got sick, now I just watch them once in a while, just an hour and a half. That's about all I could take right now, but I think I'm rambling. Let me think. Other than losing my grandchildren, getting my kids and my children back, I've been very fortunate. I'm probably one of the richest women in the world because I have so many friends. I'm amazed. I've been sick since November, and I've got 2 shoeboxes full of cards. As they know, all of them, there's still some. Every other week, I take them down, put more up. But I've been thankful from everybody that sends the cards and everything. It's amazing how nice you feel when you get a card and people that you, oh, yeah, oh, my God, you know. And you get to see how they feel, what they say, you know. And it's amazing. I didn't realize how many friends I have. I think sometimes we think it's just like a fellowship, but it is. It's a huge, huge family, you know. And I have wonderful friends out of the program. And they never drank. They hung with me anyway. They just liked watching me be silly, you know. And my family is just wonderful to me. They spoil me rotten. And I have all the neighbors, and I must be queen, whoever in the building. I don't know if every one of them is Lido okay. Some of them I don't even know, you know, that I'd go down to their little card games and see as well as I can, you know. Because I said, I'm going to live this as if I'm dying tomorrow. I'm going to have fun today. So everybody's stuck with me for a while. Because I'm determined. And I love all he is. And ditto, done. It's all yours now. Thank you.
I'm going to just go ahead and open up the floor for comments. And go from there.
I'm very alcoholic. Well, I can't tell you how much lighter means to me.